That was producer Amanda Beland. I'm Carrie Young in for Tiziana Deering. So we're going to stick with education for our next segment, but we're going to move to grades K to 12. More schools in Massachusetts are creating positions to build equity among their staff and their students. And after reaching a critical mass of these positions, they recently came together to create an organization that supports this work statewide. Joining me now in the studio are two members of the newly created Association of Massachusetts School Equity Leaders. Manuel Fernandez is the Chief Equity Officer at Cambridge Public Schools and the President of the Association. Hi, Manuel.
Good morning. Thank you.
And Dr. Renee Haywood is the Assistant Superintendent of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Brockton Public Schools. She's also a committee chair with the association. Hi, Renee.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so I want to again set the table with this segment, and just have you guys describe what the phrase diversity, equity, and inclusion really means. It kind of feels like a big phrase. So if you could break that down, especially when it comes to your work in the K to 12 system. So Renee, I'm going to throw the question to you first.
All right. Well, when I think about diversity, I think about an opportunity, not just representation of various cultures, expressions, but a celebration of what that looks like. Not the melting pot, but, you know, the salad bowl where lots of different colors, lots of different flavors come together to create an experience. So that's diversity for me. Inclusion, you know, taking that same group of folks and adding others as well, and giving them power in decision making, helping them feel like they belong in a space. And then for equity, making sure that everyone has what they need, not everyone gets something equal, because that doesn't always help. But looking at individuals and giving them what they need and making sure that systematically we're looking at structures to make sure that everyone is taken care of in whatever space that is.
Great. And Manuel, I want to continue that sentiment with you. When it comes to working in a school, is this work about students? Is it about staff or both?
It's about everybody. It's about students, it's about parents, it's about staff, and it's about dismantling structures that restrict access to anyone. So families getting information, students accessing particular courses or opportunities, staff being affirmed in their identity, being themselves and not being somebody else that fits with what the majority culture might want it to be.
Right. Yeah, kind of like what Renee just said. It's a salad bowl. Everybody's got something different to bring to the table, but it comes together to bring a cohesive good, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, well, and Renee, I want you to talk a little bit about, I always like to ask people for specific memories or specific examples. Is there a project that you've worked on in Brockton that really came out of those diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts that you feel just really highlights the work that you do?
Yeah, so what we recently started, actually when I first came on, we focused on having an annual conference. The first one, because I just started this job, as a lot of us did, around 2021, so we had a virtual conference with all of our over 3,000 employees. And then last year was our first in-person conference. And it was really transformational. We had 60 different workshops on a variety of topics. We took over the high school. So that is an extra day that our district commits to this work. School is shut down. It's on election day every year. And so when the kids aren't there, the teachers and staff, they still come in and there's a full day of professional development. Then we also had pop-up restaurants who came, you know, so that folks could experience the flavor of Brockton. We also did have a couple folks come from Boston as well, just to share in that experience. But it was an overall day of experiencing something different and having conversations that we're not used to having. And what that did is sparked a hunger for more. And so we've had two additional classes since then, just to respond to the need that's out there.
Yeah. I mean, would you say you would measure that as a success? How do you measure success in a job like this?
really, it's hard because I think that those who are against the work speak very loudly. And so you have to kind of shut them out. And honestly, there are just a few who might have called out sick, you know, that day or whatever it is.
Right.
But for the most part, I mean, the success is the shift in the way that people are treated, the shift in the commitment, individual commitment, and the district commitment. So equity is something that our entire district is responsible for. It's not just my office. And so for me, I'm trying to help the district look at how to create that in a structure to dismantle unhealthy structures that may have existed before. So I think that just the personal responses, we're starting to see more one-on-ones and change of heart.
Yeah.
And that's the harder work, and the systematic work is also, there's always a lot of work to do, and you can't just judge it, I guess, off of a few, but there are significant changes, improvements, and it's fueling our fire to continue.
Yeah, no, that's encouraging to hear.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the Association of Massachusetts School Equity Leaders and the work that they're doing to build inclusion in classrooms and communities statewide. We just heard from Dr. Renee Haywood. We're also joined in the studio with Manuel Fernandez. Manuel, you're in Cambridge. And if you could also share a story of maybe a success that really stuck with you from that might have been as a result of your work or even just a project you're really proud of.
Well, when they asked me to take this position, I had been a principal for 8 years in the district, and there was no precursor. How do you do this? How do you open this office? How do you begin? In spending so many years as a principal, I learned that many of the changes that I made in the school were based on what students told me. So we decided to interview some students and ask them, you know, what does equity mean to you? And then next thing you know, we decided we want you to design a conference. We want you to design a conference. And this is during COVID.
The students to design
it. The student design a conference. We will be a technical assistance. We'll provide you the resources and space. We did this all virtually. We did bring in the 16 students who decided that they wanted to make this happen. So 16 students launched a student equity conference. 160 students signed on online.
Oh, wow.
And out of that, they were able to gather together data and feedback from those who attended that was then put into a report that was given to the superintendent and to the administrators in the schools and say, this is what equity should look like in the schools based on the people that we serve,
right,
the students. So I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, and I want to jump off of something you actually just mentioned of when you started the office, it was, you didn't quite know what it meant or what it would entail. It was a little bit of, kind of feeling it out, asking the constituents who you were serving. When you're in this position, you asked the students, but would it have helped to have a group like this at the time? Like, what is the purpose, I think, is the larger question I'm trying to ask
here, absolutely,
of having a big group like this that it's like, okay, we're starting this position, best practices, any lessons learned? Yeah, is that, if you can just talk a little bit about the formation.
Well, in many ways, Renee and I are newbies to the group. There were like five or six individuals a few years back who met regularly just to give each other support, to share their stories, to get advice and counsel. And before you know it, there were more and more of us joining. And in time, we decided we need to formalize and we need to people know that we're here and we need to know, work together to help people know what the needs are of the diversity offices, equity offices. See, one of the things that people don't understand is it's not only about doing the work, it's about taking care of yourself. And so a part of doing this work is understanding that you're going to be attacked, that you're going to be people are going to be oppositional. There are going to be roadblocks, that some of our members work in districts that don't necessarily support the work. But it's a good performative message to say we have an equity officer. We have a member right now who you may have read was targeted by a mock grave.
I was just going to ask about that.
In Scituate, Brother Jamil Adams. And he responded the way he does with love. But the fact of the matter is, he has relied on us to help him through.
Yeah.
He's more than capable of doing it by himself. But to have us here with him We're working with other institutions in the state of Massachusetts to respond to this and to put together a convening in the fall with other educational institutions to talk about how do we beat the tide on this? Because we're in a polarized situation now in our society, and it seems to get more and more every day. And even when they write the article, there was a comment in one of the articles from a reader who said something like, well, we don't think we need an equity officer in our community. It's too bad these kids did this, but we don't need an equity officer. We're 98% white. You might need an equity officer more than anybody else does, because you're about to send your children off to schools where they're not going to be the only people. They're going to be
right.
A multitude and a variety of cultures and races and so on. And you are not preparing them for success if you think you don't need to talk about equity. And equity is, I want to be real clear when we talk about equity. Equity is about dismantling structures that get in the way of anybody because of their identity.
Right. Well, and Renee, I want to follow up on some of those sentiments of, you know, providing support to each other, especially in light of, you know, really terrible stories like the equity officer in Scituate. How much of your work as a group is supporting each other, and how much of it is sort of like that sharing of ideas?
So I would say it's a mix of all of that. And honestly, being part of AMCEL finalized what my dissertation would be focusing on. And part of that was counter spaces. And being in this role, I needed a space away from everything else where I wouldn't have to explain much of how I'm feeling, that other people would understand how I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing, and also that they could give me some tools to help me be better in my role. So we all come with different skills, and we share those skills with each other. We come together with a problem of practice. I'm the PD chair, and so we're looking to see what the specific needs of the group are so that right. We can address those. So it's a mix.
Right.
It's a mix of all of that.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard the term translation fatigue, I think is what you're describing too. Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
In the few minutes we have left in the segment, I want, you know, we were just talking about like affirmative action in higher education and, you know, the Supreme, especially when it comes to the Supreme Court decision that just came out. How in the K-12 sphere are you guys discussing the implications of that and how you can do your job? Manuel, why don't you take that?
Well, I had the privilege of joining Secretary Tutwiler the other day and with a group looking at the impact of the Supreme Court decision. And they were looking at it from the level of the college level. And I was glad to be there because I was able to give a perspective that is really about what's happening in schools every day. You see, when we start talking about affirmative action, it's really a redress of marginalization and minoritization in our schools. And so we need to begin looking at that too. What are we doing in public schools, K-12, that separates students by race, that not based on some cultural need, but based more on some perceived intellectual capacity? If we don't believe that these kids can learn, then we're not going to teach them at the level that we teach other students. So it's really about, reconfiguring what we mean when we say meeting the needs of all students who come into our classroom, differentiated engagement, differentiated teaching, working with teachers to begin to let them begin to reflect on what do they bring into the classroom? Who am I when I walk into the classroom? And what is my relationship to the students who sit in front of me? If I'm a white teacher and 90% of the kids in my classrooms are white,
right,
there's not going to be a huge leap. But for other kids who come with a different cultural perspective and with a teacher who might have her own perceived notions about who these kids are, there is going to be a disconnect, and we've got to begin to fill that connection.
Right. Okay. And in the 30 seconds we have left, Renee, what's next for this group? What kinds of things are you focusing on maybe as the new school year starts?
I think developing some more partnerships, expanding this work, expanding what we do, because we all are understanding the various skills that we come to the table with and really using those to serve the Commonwealth. So I think that that's really the focus and moving equity work forward.
Great. Thank you both for joining me this afternoon to talk about a very important subject. Yes, that was Dr. Renee Haywood, the Assistant Superintendent of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Brockton Public Schools, and Manuel Fernandez, the Chief Equity Officer at Cambridge Public Schools.